you pray for me tonight that the Lord would give us a tongue of utterance that we might speak the things that would honor and glorify the Lord. We sincerely believe that the preaching of the gospel is not something man can just turn on and off like we would a light switch, but we are totally and completely dependent tonight upon the Lord. And if there is any preaching that ever occurs, it's by the power and demonstration of the Spirit of Almighty God. And it's a miracle of God's grace that we have such as the gospel and the preaching of the gospel in this world. We should never take the opportunity to sit under the sound of the gospel for granted or lightly. But just like Brother Mike has come tonight petitioning the Lord, we all ought to come praying that God, please bless us in our service, that we might be fed from thy word the things that we stand in need of hearing, and that which God knows better than man could ever provide in any systematic way. The Lord has so designed his church so that there's no room for anyone to glory in anything but the Lord. And if we had any system that we produced or came up with, we'd have room to take a little bit of credit for it. And the fact of the matter is, the things that we have done in our lives are the problem, not the answer. And it's what the Lord has done for us that is the answer to our problems. And we're to look to him tonight for all things and the things that we stand in need of. I do beg an interest in your prayer. I've got several passages on my mind, several places that I've been looking and studying from and desiring very much that I'd feel the direction of the Lord in the things that I would say tonight. So just pray for me. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn and read with you tonight, probably a very lengthy passage of Scripture, so I certainly encourage you to follow along. I don't want you to get lost or get sleepy as we read parts of this. Don't know when we'll begin speaking from any part of it, but we'll follow the leadership of the Lord in that. And I'd like to look, if the Lord continues to bless me as I feel, or will bless me to speak on this as I feel right now, upon the entirety of the fourth chapter of the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4 follows, of course, the third chapter of Daniel, where we have the wonderful story of the fiery furnace and the deliverance of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from that fiery furnace, and how that the Lord opened the eyes of a heathenish Babylonian king who was lifted up in his own pride and was made, rather than bragging and proclaiming himself to be something, he was made to praise and honor the very God that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego believed in and would not bow down to an image other than the Lord. And they were certainly not willing, if it meant their life, to bow down before man and man's image and to give glory to man. But they were willing, if it meant death, then they were willing to die for the name of the Lord. And the Lord so blessed them that not only did they not die, they didn't even have the smell of smoke upon them as they came from a fiery furnace. There wasn't even any evidence of them being there other than the bonds that were put upon them, the ropes that had held them were burned off, and they were made free and set free in that furnace. And they were not alone in that furnace. That king was allowed by the grace of God to see one like unto the Son of God walking in the fiery furnace with the three that he threw in. He said, "Did we not cast in three? Lo, I see four men loosed." Three bound went in, four loose walked in the midst of the fiery furnace. And that is the experience of God's little children when they trust in the Lord. Young or old, tonight, if you're blessed to know the Lord, and if you know the Lord, it's because he knew you in covenant even before the foundation of the world, and he loved you. And then in time, he sent his only begotten Son into this world who died for you and paid a sin debt for you, washed you in his own blood. And then as you were born in this world, at some point, God quickens you and makes you alive so that you are aware of him. And you have what many call in the world a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we never want to make light of someone saying, I have a personal relationship of the Lord with the Lord Jesus Christ, because tonight, if you know the Lord, you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. What we do want to understand and would have others to understand is that relationship is not what you began or what you worked, but rather what He's done. That you know Him because He knew you, and you have fellowship with Him not because you did something to gain Him or you did something in your choice of your free will to embrace Him, but rather in a covenant of grace before the foundation of the world, He did for you what you would have never chosen to have done for you, and that is He loved you and He sent His Son for you and Jesus died for you and you were quickened and made alive. And because you've been made alive, all the stories of the Old Testament that we understand to be a reality and the truth, you have as a guide for you on how to live in this old world. It's written aforetime for our learning. So when we read this passage, we're not just reading a nice little fairy tale, a nice little lesson that someone came up with. We're reading an actual account of one of God's little children and how the Lord dealt with him. And Nebuchadnezzar writes here, you know, sometimes we're reading the Bible and we don't think of Nebuchadnezzar being an author of any part of the scripture, but this scripture tells us it was written or is declared by Nebuchadnezzar. Now, whether it was given to Daniel and Daniel penned it down, all I know is when the Bible is written, we have God's word, and really from whatever author it is, it's authoritative, not because of the man, but because of the Lord. And it's amazing that God could use even a man who shows his ignorance in so many passages and yet shows a wisdom that cometh from above in other passages. And what I like to think about with that is sometimes you all and me and all of us can see at times some things. Can you think of anything you've ever said that just was totally ignorant? If you can't, hang in there a while. Maybe we'll find one or two that might fit you. That's not my plan or my purpose tonight, but if that's what's needed, I pray the Lord would allow us to understand that there are a lot of times we're thinking wrong. There's a lot of times we're speaking wrong, and we're acting as if there is no God. Even though we know there is a God, we're acting like there is no God, or like our God is like all the little gods of this world. Listen, there's all kinds of inventions of men that have an idea about what God is. That's not the God we serve. We don't serve a God that's man's creation. We serve a God who created man. And our God is the God, the only God, the one and only God, the God, as we often say from the Old Testament, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Moses, the God of Elijah, the God of Daniel, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and I believe the God of Nebuchadnezzar. Though at times Nebuchadnezzar talked like he didn't know the Lord. There were other times it was clear that he'd been made to know the Lord. And if we look at our own experience, we'll see that in our lives. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. That verse sounds a lot like what the Apostle Paul would say in his salutation. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. Listen, there's only one way for peace in this world. And that peace is not known unto man. The way of peace we do not know. There's only one who is our peace. And we know who that is. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't it wonderful? You can go back in an Old Testament passage, and really if you get down to the meat of every verse, you come out to the same message of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Because of Jesus tonight, we can have peace in this old troubled world. Because of what He's done for us, we can have peace about dying. Because of the home He's prepared for us, we don't have to be afraid to leave this old world in death. Young or old, we don't have to be afraid about that. And because of what He's done for us, we don't have to be afraid of living either. We can trust the Lord when we're sick, that if it's His will, He can make us well. And if it's not, He'll give us strength to endure the sickness. We can trust the Lord that whatever we face, if it's a fiery furnace, it'll be all right. We should not be careful to answer when we're called upon to answer and name the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives and give Him honor and praise. And as we do that as His children, we honor Him and we glorify Him and we find great rest and peace in this world. And when we fail to do this, we can find ourselves like Brother Nebuchadnezzar, who got himself in a real mess. You know, God's children can get in a mess in this world. I imagine if we look at our lives, we can see maybe we're in it now. I hope you're not in a mess. And if you are, I hope you... Well, we all are in a mess to some degree, but I hope you'll see that if I trust in the Lord, whatever I've got in front of me, whatever I'm facing, I can lean upon the Lord who loves me, and by His strength and by His might and by His ability, I can do and be what He would have me to do and be. And without Him, I can't do a thing at all. And this is really the lesson Nebuchadnezzar would have them know here. He says, I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. And I love the way he lays that out. Now, you'll read another passage here that sounds like he doesn't know the Lord at all. Now, sometimes God's children sound like that. Sometimes it may be a time in his life, I'm not sure exactly about that, but it may have been in a time in his life where he didn't know the Lord. And we all have seen times in our life that we didn't know. We did what we thought was right, but we were wrong. And we thought we were on the right track, but we were on the wrong path. And it could have been at a time where the Lord had not revealed himself to us. And hear me. Until the Lord quickens someone, they cannot know the things that you and I hold so lovely and dear. They can't hear them, they won't have them, they won't know about them. And as convincingly as that might be preached or taught, or drilled in by mama and daddy and believed and held by mama and daddy, they may have an appreciation for mama and daddy and a love for them in a natural way, but it's only God who can make one spiritual. And the good news about that, God doesn't have any trouble doing it at all. But with men, it's impossible. When God does it, that godly lifestyle lived in front of them by their parents and by their others mean a great deal to them. But it only is when God has shine that life in them and that light in them that they're able to see that. And sometimes when we think about some of the things that have come out of this old mouth, and I just shake and think, why didn't the Lord just wipe me out? Listen, he's been so good to me. He's been such a wonderful Lord. There's many times, a lot of the times, that I'm not considering his goodness. I'm not thinking about how wonderful he is. And I want to do that better. And that's why you come to church. You want to hear it. Somebody said, what's the value of coming to church? That you might be reminded again of what a great God that you have. That you not only might trust in him, but that you might live in a way to honor him and glorify him. And when you face the challenges of life that he said are sure to come, young or old, young people have great challenges in this old world, to conform and be like everybody else and to fit in. And all of us that have gone through that, remember that, I hope, to some degree. Sometimes we wonder why they act like they do, and we don't think about how we acted. And usually what happens is the acorn doesn't fall too far from the tree, everybody. And the reason our children have the problems they have is because we had those problems. And by our nature, in our fallen nature, we're prone to wander that way. Listen, if the Lord's quickened you, young person, if the Lord's quickened you, middle age or old age, you've got a better life to live than what the world will teach you to live. You've got a wisdom that far exceeds the wisdom of this world. You have an ability to walk in a way to honor God among your friends and from among your peers that will be a true help to them. And it's our responsibility, and not only that, our joy, and not only that, our only way of peace that we'll have in this world is to do what God would have us to do the way that he would have us to do it. And he's written us an entire book that needs to be the lamp unto our feet and the light unto our path. And when we get in here and read about Nebuchadnezzar, we don't want to go the way of Nebuchadnezzar. We want to learn from that so that we, in some ways, we want to be that, go that way. But that is after the Lord taught him. We don't want to learn the lesson that if you get lifted up in pride, you'll fall. He who exalts himself shall be abased, not humbled, abased. That means laid low. Thank God for his abasing of us when we get high and haughty minded. And if we as a primitive Baptist church become high and haughty minded, we become the Pharisees that he said that to. And he admonished. God forbid that would be the case. Tonight I hope we come as just sinners before the Lord and trusting in Him and trusting and leaning upon Him, recognizing we are nothing without Him, and by His power and by His might, though I can do whatever He would have me to do. And I need to be leaning and trusting in Him. And that isn't the way you get life. He get life by His work, but it's a way you truly live that life in a way to honor and glorify the Lord. Here we have Nebuchadnezzar the king, and he says, "I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God had wrought toward me." And that's a good lesson too. Our lives are filled with the signs and the wonders, aren't they? What has God done for you? You write your list, and I write. That ought to be what we want to talk about. So many of the times I'm talking about what I don't have, what I would like to have had, what didn't turn out the way I wanted it to go, what somebody's got that I deserve, and what position, what place, what financial or whatever, being dissatisfied and discontent. And where does that come from? It comes from the old flesh, and that needs to be subdued. And the Bible tells us to keep that under subjection. And what we want to do is talk about how good the Lord's been to you, the blessings of your family, the blessings of your church family, the blessings of having spiritual life, the blessings of being able to come tonight and sing like we sang. And I know some would think that's not very much, but I'll tell you what, it's Jesus is all the world to me. And to be able to sing that tonight and lift up my voice, as scratchy as it is sometimes and off key as it is sometimes, and to be able to make a joyous noise unto the Lord, a joyful noise, what a blessing that is in this whole world. Nebuchadnezzar said, he said, "How great are his signs." Do you believe that? That's wonderful writing there, isn't it? "Oh, heathenish king, how great are his signs." He's talking about his signs, not the gods that he mentions a little later, but his signs. Who? The God, the high God. The God that he saw walking in the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The God that here in a little while gives him a dream that troubles him, and it does that in order to let him know there's something you need to understand, that you are not all that. And that without me, you're nothing. And I've lifted you up in order that I might chasten the Lord's people, and you better understand what you are and who you are so that you might truly honor me. And I believe Nebuchadnezzar, this writing, was thankful for that lesson. He says, "How great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom." Oh, I'll tell you what, tonight, I heard this week, and I certainly agreed with it. If we think about the universe and the solar system and our world, at one time it was believed by men that the earth was the center of the universe and everything revolved around the earth. And then came along a scientist who pointed out, no, it wasn't the earth. It's the sun that's the center of the solar system and everything else revolves around that. And the brother said, really, both are wrong. He said, it's the Lord and his throne that's the center of the universe, and everything revolves around him. Brethren, that means it's not the moon and the stars and the heavenlies that are important. It's the highest heaven and the one who rules on that throne. And his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And he's never left the throne. He's been right there. Jesus came down to this earth, indeed, took upon himself a body of a flesh, that he might be seated again at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us, and seen there in the heavenlies in the book of Revelation as that Lamb of God slain from the very foundation of the world, where they cried out, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." And the power of that throne is a powerful throne. Listen, we want to serve him tonight. He can keep your life. You can't, and nobody else can. He can help you, and you can't, and nobody else can. He can give you wisdom. Young, old, he can give you what you need. You don't have it. The world might say they have it. They don't have it either. The only ones who will have it are those who are given it by his grace and his mercy. But the wonderful thing is, He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. That makes me feel a whole lot of peace tonight, knowing that it isn't by my power, by my might, but by His power and His might. He said, His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and His dominion is from generation to generation. That means whatever generation you're in, who's in control? The Lord is. Well, what about the next generation? The Lord will be. And what about the next generation? The Lord will be. And what about when we through with this time world? Who's going to be? Who's going to be there on the throne? It's going to be the same Lord. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And you can't leave Jesus out of this. If you leave Jesus out of this, you left the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. Somebody said, well, I believe in God, but I don't necessarily believe in Jesus. If you don't believe in Jesus, you don't believe in the Father. And the Father is one with the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Son is one with the Holy Spirit. And these three are one. Listen, that's why Jesus is all the world to me. Because in the very body of Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead. And I don't understand all about that, but I know that's throughout this Bible. In the Old Testament as well as the New. And he says his dominion is from generation to generation. Nebuchadnezzar was at rest in mine house. He said, I, Nebuchadnezzar. He's telling the story about where he was and the lesson God taught him. He said, I was at rest in my house and flourishing in my palace. What I'm seeing here is a man who's just self-satisfied in his own self. I got it all. I'm the king of the world. And I'll tell you, it looked like he was. Here he had been raised in such a position at Babylon that he was, whomever they came in contact with, they subdued. The Lord brought them to that place of power. And he did that because his children needed to be chastened. And he used Nebuchadnezzar to do it. And he was not only was it the Jewish people that were brought under that subjection, but others. And here he was as the he was the supreme commander in his mind. He was the numero uno. He was it. And he said, here I am, and I was at rest in my house, resting in his own self, and flourishing in my palace, and I saw a dream which made me afraid. Isn't it something how the Lord can take the highest king? People get all puffed up and think, I hear some of these comedians and others just spit in the very face of God and make such mockery as if God does not exist, and there's no God that they'll ever have to answer to. My friends, let me tell you this, by the word of God, The Lord of heaven is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And one day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Some of them will do it worshipfully. Others will do it just like the devils do, who acknowledge Him and tremble. You see, everybody will be brought to the place they know who the King of kings is. The wonderful good news is God's blessed us to see that. In a loving way as our Heavenly Father right now. And if the Lord hadn't blessed you, you wouldn't see it. You couldn't know it. You wouldn't understand it. You'd be like old Nebuchadnezzar here. Boy, I'm it. I'm just it. And there he was. And yet, all of a sudden, something began to trouble him. He got a dream. And he says, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions in my head trouble me. You ever had some troubling? He's having trouble sleeping. He's got a dream that troubled him. And remember, we're under the Old Testament system where God moved in divers manners and in different ways. He spake in times past under the prophets under the fathers by the prophets. And here this dream was given that Daniel might prophesy to him that which was going to take place. Now, why would we need to know that? Because, number one, it's a whole lot about the Lord Jesus. And matter of fact, if we really get the essence of any passage, as we've said, it's about the Lord Jesus. But it's also for our learning. And it's given to us for that reason. He said, I saw a dream that made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions in my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Now, if you read over in the second chapter, you'll see this didn't work then. And so, that's what men usually do. If it didn't work the last time, well, by all means, let's keep doing it. That's what man's wisdom does. Hey, have you seen that? So, well, how did that work last time? It didn't work, but what are we going to do? Well, let's do the same thing again. Why? Because it seems a way that seems right. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is a way of destruction, a way that does not work. And so what men do is turn to man's wisdom. Listen, old Baptist, if we ever turn to man's wisdom to try to get along in this world and to teach and instruct God's children through the methodology and the systems of men, it won't work either. We may be right on the truth, but if we're not trusting God to deliver that truth to His people, we will lose the blessing and the power of the Holy Spirit in our meetings. And I'll tell you, you'll have a theological, high-minded place full of Pharisees rather than a broken, poor, and afflicted people feeding on the wonderful God of heaven and giving Him the honor and the glory. God forbid we do that. Here they call in all of the high-minded men. He said, you bring in the magicians and the astrologers and the Chaldeans and the soothsayers, and some people still think they got a whole lot of power in them, and they've been telling the same old lies for a long time, and they're still telling them, and men are still gobbling it up. And sometimes men look wise when they gobble them up, because remember, the wisest men of this world, it is hidden from the wise and prudent, and is revealed unto babes. And what's wonderful about this truth is there is a wisdom that cometh down from above that no man can give you but the Lord. But there's a wisdom that's from beneath that is really foolishness. And that wisdom will say there is no God. Or if you do have a God, He's no better than any other God. There's a bunch of gods, just a whole bunch of them. Just pick one. One is as good as the other. And actually, you're God yourself. You're going to get there yourself. And if you don't think that's being talked about in this world, just listen a little bit, because it's certainly out there. I'm telling you, I'm not a God. You're not a God. I'm not praying to an angel or a saint that's gone on to heaven. I know some dear old saints that are in heaven today, but they're not in heaven because they were something. They're in heaven because He was something. And He worked in them, and that grace is in them. And they can't help me. They need the help, and they've gotten that help from the Lord. And I don't need to go through them. I go to Him through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's only one way that we can have communication with the Father, and that's through the Son. And the only way we know that is through the Holy Spirit. And that way has been revealed to us. And if the Lord doesn't show us to us, we won't know it. But if He's shown it to us, we certainly want to walk in that way. Boy, I got a bunch of verses here in this chapter. I saw a dream which made me afraid. And then he said, then came the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers, and I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. Remember before he said, I can't tell you the dream. You tell me the dream and we'll give you the interpretation. Well, this time they said, well, we can't, because we don't know the dream. If you could just tell us the dream, we could interpret it. Well, to prove that that wasn't true, here he tells them the dream and they still can't interpret it. And that's man's wisdom. And listen, that's my wisdom tonight if I don't have the Lord. Hear me? That's a preacher's wisdom. If he doesn't have the Lord, it's the wisdom of the church if they don't have the Lord. The only wisdom we have tonight is what He gives us. And we better be praying when we come, Lord, grant us unto that wisdom that we might be really understanding. And then when you get it, you know who to thank. Isn't that what's good about this? We know who to thank. It isn't you and me. We don't put our names up on a plaque. There's only one name that deserves to be on every plaque, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. To God be the glory. There's no other name in heaven nor in earth beside thee. Thank the Lord. And he said, then came in them, and he said, but at last, and listen, I love this, because old Daniel, he didn't even want to be with that crowd. He said, here he comes at the last. And whether God separated him from them or whether he separated himself from them because he didn't want to be identified with him, I'm really glad he came in last, aren't you? They've done everything they can do, but here comes Daniel. Now Daniel had already proven, listen, let me put it this way, the Lord of heaven had proven Daniel to be his servant and his prophet. Daniel hadn't done anything but been responsive and been the tool and been the one that the Lord used in the interpretation of the dream before. And here Daniel comes in, and you can see from the language here, Nebuchadnezzar didn't even understand all about how Daniel had done what he'd been able to do, because first of all, he named him after one of his gods, which I'm sure Daniel didn't want at all. It's kind of like when someone comes and gives you a lot of praise and glory that you know you don't deserve, and you know how you feel, and they think that this is something you ought to have, or call you by a name. Sometimes, every once in a while, someone who doesn't know what Old Baptists call their ministers might call an Old Baptist minister reverend, and when they do that, I go like, ooh, that just didn't fit right. Because I know the scripture says holy and reverend is his name. And that's why I wouldn't want that. But they don't know that. And their response is, you know, as they've heard, and yet here Nebuchadnezzar was not wise, at least in this writing. He says that the last Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God. In other words, he said, I'm going to show him some honor and just name him after my God. That's kind of like, I'm going to give him some honor. That was a term from his standpoint of honor. But I'm sure from Daniel's standpoint, he was Daniel. He wasn't Belteshazzar, but he was under the subjection of that king. He recognized the powers that be, the authority that be, were of God. And that's an important thing for us to recognize. Sometimes I don't like who's in authority, but I've got to recognize the authorities that be are of the Lord. And therefore, I am to answer to them and to respond to them as much as it doesn't go contrary to the Word of God. I am to respond as much as I can to live peaceably and according to the laws that the Lord is ultimately, He's the one who puts. Do y'all believe the Lord puts kings on the throne and remove them? Didn't the Bible teach that? We think, well, we're putting a man in the White House. Listen, I'm telling you, the Lord can give us good men in office in order to be a blessing to us, but He can also give us other kinds of men to be a chastisement to us, because there are times we as Americans have forgotten the Lord, and there may be times we need to be wakened. I hope we're getting a little wake up tonight. Wake me up, Lord. That I might see. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not to submit to them to the degree I can, but when they go, listen, that's what Daniel did. Now, when he crossed the line, and when he came to the place where Daniel was told, you don't pray anymore to anybody but me, well, he didn't do that. Because that was contrary to the law of his God, and he wasn't going to go there, and that's where we're to go. Just give that in passing. It might be an ending, because the time is gone. Okay. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. In other words, he didn't understand at that point where he even got his power from, because he was seeing their holy gods. Now, sounds different than what he said later on. I believe he's giving us the earlier, this is what he learned something in this process. And we'll see that if I can get to it. If not, you read it at home. He says, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians. He wasn't such as that. He said, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. He didn't know anything, did he? And no secret troubleth thee. Tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen and the interpretation thereof. I'm telling you, the only thing Daniel could ever tell him is what God told Daniel. Without God telling Daniel something, he would have known nothing. And the power was not in Daniel, though Nebuchadnezzar thought it was at this time. The power was in Daniel's God. And that's the way Daniel always responded. O Belteshazzar, he says, and then thus were the visions in my head, in my bed. I saw and behold a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached into heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. He saw this huge tree that was a great benefit to all around him. And he said, the leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and it was in it was meat for all. The beasts of the field and the shadow on it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. And I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and a holy one came down from heaven, and he cried aloud and said thus, hew down the tree, and cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, and scatter his fruits, and let the beasts get away from under it, and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and of brass, and in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. And let this heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let him seven times pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand of the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basis of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof. For as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Now what he had seen was what was about to happen to him. And that's what Daniel gives him as the interpretation. From about verse 19 all the way to about verse 27, Daniel gives an interpretation of that dream. He shows in that interpretation a concern for the king, and even encourages him to repent. He encourages him to just maybe God, not that this is what God has declared, but you, he said in verse 27, wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. In other words, he said, he basically said, I wish I didn't have to tell you this. If you read these passages, which I really don't have time to do, you read these passages, you'll see that he's saying, King, I wish this was to your enemies rather than to you that I'm going to tell you this, but this is what this is about. It's about you, O King. You think you're all that, and you're about to be laid low to where you are nothing. And this is what I would have you to be. I let the counsels I've given be acceptable unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. And I know time is gone. I'm going to try the best I can just to read some of this. I can't leave it. I just can't leave it tonight. So he said, all this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon and listened to the king. You would think he'd been warned. He'd been dealt with. God had sent him a message, a dream, and a messenger, one to interpret the dream. And then the warning had come. And I believe a warning from one who loved him and desired to see the best for him. But here he was. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of my kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? There's way too many my's in there and too many I's. And watch our language. When you get a language full of my's and I's, you're in trouble. When it's all about, oh, look at our this. Look at all we've done. Look how much we've got. It's because we did this. Because we've done that. Because we've been a part. Listen, that is a language that's soon due for a fall. As Proverbs says, the pride goeth cometh before a fall. And I'm not getting all of that, but it's over in Proverbs 16, verse 18. That's in the margin of my Bible, and I circled it, and I'd like to get over there and read it. You read it, because it talks about when we get lifted up. It's the very lesson that says, he that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. And that's why tonight we need to humble ourselves before the Lord. Okay, I know. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon? Verse 31, while the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven. Oh, that had to be a sound. Saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken. The kingdom is departed from thee. And I'm telling you, the very minute it was said, it was done. That tree was cut down. Stump left, but the tree's cut down. They shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee. That's talking about whether it's 7 years or whatever it is. It's the perfect amount of time that it would require for him to learn the lesson. And listen, God brought this chastisement upon him, and the chastisement continued until he learned the lesson. He said, and seven times shall pass over thee until, hear that, until thou know that the Most High, not the gods, not the chief of the magicians, not Baal, but the God of the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. That's who we serve. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. And get this, this man who had everything, he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen. Can you imagine what he looked like? It says, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven. There it is in the dream. And till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers. I don't know what that looked like, but that had to be a wild looking, that had to be a wild looking situation. And his nails like bird claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I'm telling you, we got a whole different fellow talking a whole different way. And he said, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth, including Nebuchadnezzar, that doesn't say it right there, but that's what he meant, as are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? And at the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. The stump was cut down, but it wasn't completely gone. It revived. And how did it revive? Was it Nebuchadnezzar? No, I'm telling you, he was changed. He knew different. He may forget it, but he knew different. His grandson ought to know different. The next chapter you'll see that he was told you ought to know different, but the grandson forgot it too. He forgot about Daniel. He forgot about, more importantly, he forgot about the God of Daniel. Brethren, let us not forget who is our God and who it is we're trusting in. He said, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, listen. Yeah, I love this. He said, now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of Heaven. What the Lord can do. Brethren, I'm telling you, he can do that to any man. You see him sometimes, you think nobody can change that man. No, no man can, but I'm telling you, God can. And God does. And all we have to do for a witness on that is look at ourselves in the mirror and see what God has done. If he's done anything in our life, look what a mess, I said that very lovingly, look what a mess he's worked with and what he's done. All whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. When you have a mind to pray, remember me and God bless you.
Brother, my brother, bless you.